Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.
Welcome to a very special segment that we've got planned here to wrap up our show today. I have Diane and Vince Redhouse and their daughter Hannah as well in the studio. She's not going to come on, but she'll be cheering her parents on. It's great to see the two of you. Vince, of course, you've been on the show twice to support us with your lovely Native American flute playing. Welcome again.
Yes, thank you so much.
But really, the time in the sun here is for Diane. We've talked before. Let me do a brief introduction. Diane Redhouse is from Desert Dingo Productions. She's a very talented photographer with a lifelong passion and fascinating connectedness to wild animals and birds, in particular wolves and hawks. In addition to recently publishing a book about hawks, Diane's new children's book is The Singer That Lost His Song. It carries a profound message for people of all ages, a message about teaching, understanding, love, and freedom of the soul, and being home. Diane's going to tell us the story behind the story, which includes the circles of her own life and weaving in the role of her husband. Vince, as I mentioned, is a Native American flute player and Grammy nominee who did the narration and the music for the audio version of the book. Well, congratulations on all this effort, Diane.
Thank you.
And I know the last time we met up, when Vince was on the show, you were telling about the work you were doing with hawks. And if I recall, Vince, you were sitting in the very same seat, and we had a hawk fly back outside the window behind us. It was really eerie, wasn't it?
It was magical.
It was magical. Not eerie, the word is magical. Yeah. That's right. So, Diane, the singer that lost his song, where did that story come from?
It really started as a child. I've always loved wolves. I've always been fascinated with them. And a friend of mine as a teenager surprised me one night and introduced me to a wolf that one of their parents had saved from an abusive relationship. And from there, the story was inspired.
And tell us a little, I want to slow you down, because the way in which they surprised you to meet that wolf was really profound to me.
Right. They actually sent me alone into a backyard that was dark, and there was a line of the little light bulb that shone into the backyard, and I waited not knowing what would happen.
Or that what was even out there.
What was even out there, correct. Yeah. And then all the arm or the hair on my arms seemed to rise in the moment that a wolf walked across that line and stared at me. So it was a pretty profound moment that changed me forever, for sure.
And then there's some stories about you and your family on vacation with your dad. Tell us some of those, the connectedness.
Yes. Well, actually, we lived in northern Idaho for a couple of years, and we were having some problems with the well of the house we were living at. So one day the kids and I packed up in the car and took a drive and happened upon a wolf place. And we were the only people there, and we got a tour, and there was a baby wolf, little Mohawk, whom this book is dedicated to, along with all other wild wolves that have sacrificed themselves to be teachers, I believe, for us all, and in that role where we're able to connect with them and get close to them and really see who they are. So, yeah.
And that Mohawk, tell us about that experience then.
Mohawk was special himself. He's a very popular wolf at this wolf place. He was the only wolf to survive out of his litter. His mother had some problems, and they named him Mohawk because when he was delivered via cesarean section, he only had a little piece of hair on the top of his head, which resembled a Mohawk. So he in itself is a miracle, too. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Now, Vince, you've had, I know, the connectedness with the birds, as we mentioned, right?
Yes.
And so tell me about your journey towards the wolf that I know is connected with Diane.
I've always been fascinated with how Diane feels about the wolves. And when we went to New Mexico to a wolf sanctuary there, I started really understanding more about, you know, the wolf and I guess just their spirituality and their connectedness to all of the world, you know, and the earth that we appreciate. And it's very profound, their demeanor and the strength that they have. It's not just their size or you know, the physical, you know, they're, what, that part of them, but there's something else about them that's very, very strong, in the way that they connect with you and the way they look at you, and you understand there's a depth there. And because of that experience in New Mexico, I mentioned something to Diane about narrating the book. It was such a profound experience. And then recently we went to Idaho to the same sanctuary where Mohawk is, and we got to hold some baby wolves, and it was amazing.
That's great. Diane, what was your reaction when Vince said, well, I'd like to narrate that book?
I cried. I really cried because I knew inside of my spirit how important it felt to express the story and share it, but it seemed like there was something missing. And when he offered that, that was the closing.
That's right. Yeah. We're midway through our segment. I don't want to miss any of the opportunities. So if you two are okay with this, I'd like to play the opening segment that includes, of course, the music with Vince and his flute and other colleagues of yours in the space, as well as Vince narrating. So why don't we listen to 3 or 4 minutes to Wet Everybody's Whistle. It's The Singer That Lost His Song by Diane Redhouse. So we're going to play that up.
A wolf who, like all wolves, was born with pure wild within his soul. The silver of his fur shimmered when captured by both the light of the sun and moon. The wolf was named Moonstar. Moonstar lived deep inside of a forest and grew up knowing only to be free. Allowed to journey whenever he pleased. Moonstar had been on many journeys through the forest, leaving his paw prints on the earth. Moonstar saw the dusty soil as an untouched canvas and imagined the stories that his paw prints told. Came to the forest where Moonstar lived. The visitor, not noticing the beauty surrounding him, carelessly stepped all over the paw prints.
My intentional dialing off so people were intrigued to know what comes next in the story. The stories his paw prints told. Diane, I love that line. Tell us about that.
I think that everything we do in life is for a reason, and that we're in the right place at the right time, and that the story of his paw prints told the story of not only him, but of each wolf that and each animal that, and every other thing in life, as we all tell our own story. So,
Vince, the music composition, did you write this specifically then for this piece?
Actually, there's a writer, his name is Mike Levy, with 1111 Studios, and he's recorded my last four albums. And he's an amazing songwriter, and also he's recorded engineer and producer and all things music. And he's from New York. He's really a talented man. And I also am interested in the way that Diane uses her words to as imagery for these things, because it's a very unique talent to find words that describe something that we all know, but in a very very different way, you know. And there's much of that in this book. I mean,
yeah, page after page, in fact, yeah. And listening into the audio. For those of you who just joined us, we have Diane and Vince Redhouse in Diane's book called The Singer That Lost His Song, which, by the way, folks, you can reserve on the new release section on vinceredhouse.com. You can enjoy the music as well as this lovely story, and also get a copy of the book itself that is, you know, the story, the words, but also the photographs, Diane, that you've taken. So where I wanted to go with Vince, you know, you commented about her, your alliteration, Diane, your ability to grab the words, but also your visual connection. Tell me about that journey of photography for you. Has that been with you a long, long time?
It has. I mean, I can remember as a child being fascinated with taking pictures of animals, of course.
Mm-hmm.
what was the changing point for me was when I was living in northern Idaho, the same time, right around the same time we met Mohawk, a red-tailed hawk was coming around the house. And it actually inspired me to go out and buy a better camera, because I wanted to be able to take closer pictures. Yeah. So the rest is history, as they say. But I've always had a fascination with capturing the candid photos of animals and scenery. Everything tells a story, and everything is able to touch us on a spiritual level. So yeah.
Now you've got pictures in front of me that folks, I'm sure, will get loaded up on the website. That show Vince, you know, this big guy cuddling with this cute little wolf that we know will grow to be a magnificent being, as well as the other work you've done with hawks, of course, over the years. In fact, anytime you see Vince, it always says Photos by Die Die, because I know he's got his own traveling paparazzi with you in that regard, and a great one at that. Your choice to take your book that you've written and not include photographs per se, but illustrations created from the photographs you've taken.
Right.
You made that decision. How'd that come about?
It seemed like it was just more fitting for the children's book to have it be more of a cartoony illustrated thing, and not such a sharp picture, but a softer image. Yeah.
Yeah. The cover of the book shows superimposed across the forest, which of course trees has a whole nother layer of meaning for those of us that follow nature, that beautiful face of the wolf.
Right.
Was that something you were experimenting with, or you knew all along that would be the appropriate cover shot?
Even though the photos were taken at separate times, you know, separated by a year or more, I just, I knew. I could see it in my mind's eye that it needed to be that, yeah.
Well, I know we baited our listeners with only playing the beginning of the story, but why don't you tell us indeed the full story that portrays, and so that people understand the profound nature of the message you're giving to readers and listeners?
Basically, it is... touches on the lesson that wild things and many other things in life are better when they're left untouched, when they can be a full expression of what it is that they truly are. And the book just basically is a man wanting to possess a wolf to hear his songs for himself, but it doesn't really go as he planned it to go. And in the end, everything was brought back to the way that it should have been when everything was returned to the state that it started from.
Right.
In a nutshell, without giving away all the details.
Details, yeah. Right. In effect, you're closing. But I will give the closing comment. It says, to give its truest expression, a soul must feel at home.
Yeah.
So always leave the magic in the moment and listen to the stories with respect.
Right.
And Vince, you know, you're reading this to be a narrator.
Mm-hmm.
It comes to through the audio so fluidly. And was this one that it happened on the first take, so to speak? Did you find you had to practice much at all?
No, I'm familiar with how that Diane writes, and I used to write as well when I was younger, and so I really appreciate her ability with words, and it's like she's painting a picture and using words, and it's very, very unique. But I can, she oftentimes will have me read some of the things that she's written just to hear it,
mm-hmm.
And so I've gotten used to it. But I'm always it's very interesting, and it's very descriptive, and it's looking at it from another the same thing, but just another way of saying it.
You know? Yeah, that's right. And for you, Diane, to have Vince as a partner, then to read out loud what you otherwise in your head, you must hear or feel a different you know, reflective capability.
Right. Although I feel our energy was definitely connected on the same wavelength. I mean, he, like you said, he read it the first time and nailed it. I mean, that's love.
Yeah. Don't you love it? That's true. That's true. Well, it also, though, if I think about the two of you, your connectedness through the medium, whether that be music or visual, but also the living thing, such as the walls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Vince, you know, I recall the two times you were already on the radio, you told me the story of you rescuing a hawk, and you're just putting it in your car as it was knocked out, driving across the country, and suddenly dawns on you, I've got a wild hawk sitting right behind me. What am I thinking here?
Yeah.
But the same way. The encounter with the wolf the very first time, Diane,
yeah.
Did you ever think or to realize what a profound effect it would have? And now here you are years later circling back to that experience and letting it kind of evoke through your almost poetic writing as well as coupling it with Vince's music?
You know, honestly, I didn't, but I'm happy because I felt at the time that it impacted me on such a deep level that my spirit is celebrating that it finally found its place and it's finally being able to be shared.
The story you wrote in one of the emails as we were connecting, you said this story has been traveling with you since a teenager.
Right.
And is that true, this story of authenticity, of allowing wild to be wild? Is that what you meant by that statement?
Yeah, I did mean that as well as the literal story. I did write the actual, the text part of The Singer That Lost His Song way back as a teenager.
Did you really?
Yes. I actually have piles of books, so hopefully I can get them all out. But
this is one of many books,
isn't
that
many,
right?
Yes, it's true. So hopefully.
Well, you know, I couldn't ask for, that's why I will continue to ask the two of you to come back on our show,
right.
Because you manifest my whole mantra, this idea that we circle back,
right.
And we sweep back in and pull forward experiences that we may not even have realized. I mean, certainly you had a profound encounter,
right.
But some of our experiences aren't nearly as so striking, or we don't realize it in the moment, but we get some distance from it. You know, Vince, for example, your music, you know, the Native American flute was something that was long standing in your culture, but it wasn't until, if I recall, you're standing there painting in some other one gentleman's home and you said, what is that?
Yeah. And in retrospect, what you're saying oftentimes is a reflection that as we go further in life, the thought comes to mind, oh, that was what that was about.
And, oh, that's how this fits.
Yeah.
The light bulb moment.
Yeah, and some people would want to focus on it, some more of the negative grafting experiences that become the life, the loss of something that was precious to you, a loved one, an experience, whatever. But actually, there's a loss of those positive things that when they happen, we can't make sense out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find interesting, though, is that did you write the story, The Singer That Lost Its Song, and kept that document with you, or was it something that just was stored in your mega file in your head?
It was actually typed out.
Wow.
On a typewriter.
On a typewriter. Like, what? And my kids would say, what's that?
Yeah, know.
You know, what's one of those?
Yes.
Vince, for you, the same thing with your music? Do some of the songs and things that seem to come out of you so fluidly, are they indeed that idea of circling back and coming forward again?
It's the same thing. It's like I'm revisiting certain things.
Old that, friends.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's right. The thing people would notice, by the way, when you pick up this book, The Singer That Lost His Song by Diane Redhouse, and indeed Diane did all the photography, but what she did is she went in then and was it Photoshop that
yes,
you used?
Yes, it was, yeah.
And so you took them from a photograph to make them look like almost an oil painting.
Right, right.
Yeah. And have you printed these images up to see? I mean, my gosh, he just so looks so alive, but so artistic.
Right. I haven't printed them yet, no, just in that form.
In that form. And your own artistic training then? Are you a painter as well? Or
I have painted, but I don't know if I'd have the courage to show anybody the painting.
But the photographs, that one works. That one works.
I did paint a wolf, though.
There you
ironically.
Go.
Ironically.
You know, with anything that we have many authors that come on the show and they say, you know, I wrote the book to do this or for this reason. So for you, it might be to invoke the story you've been carrying around with you literally and figuratively. It's the encounter with the wolf you enjoyed. It's the encounter you shared now with your husband throughout the years. But any idea where this book might be taking you now?
I hope it takes me continually down the path of helping others, of bringing attention to things that need it. A part of the proceeds from this book will be given back to wolf sanctuaries and wolf rehabilitation places. To give without asking for anything is an amazing thing in life, and I hope I can continue to give in that manner.
So. And I think that actually is a tenet between both of you, because I know, Vince, your music that you've used to give, and the last phase of your career we talked about was your teaching youth from your tribe to play the flute as well. So where do you feel this is pulling you, Vince?
Well, you know, I feel really strongly about how that the wolves and the way that Diane describes it is that they're actually a gift to us. The ones that are in the sanctuary, they've given their lives to teach us a lesson and to show us something about this place that we call our home, the earth. And I think that, you know, I see myself being more involved in that, as well as teaching the Native American kids to play the native flute. But that it is intertwined.
Right. And I think that's probably the real joy for you two as a couple, as you continue on this change journey, your own as individuals, but you're connected in that process, and to be able, you know, Diane, your comment about helping others and to give, knowing that it's going to circle back for you.
Right.
What's marvelous. Well, for our listeners, again, The Singer That Lost His Song by Diane Redhouse. You listen to a portion of the roughly 15-minute narration with Vince's music that you can access at vinceredhouse.com. And Diane, how can people get a copy of your book?
They can visit vinceredhouse.com under new releases and reserve a copy. It's in print, so it won't be in too much longer. But
that's great. But then let the journey continue, right?
Right. And the book does come with the audio CD as well.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the two of you coming on, as always. And we're going to look forward to what the next series in the Diane Redhouse books.
Yes.
You know, same Vince, your music. I mean, I think, you know, she's going to outsource all of this to you. I hope you don't have too many other projects on your list. It's really a pleasure, as always.
Thank you.
And for those who don't know, the connectedness that my husband and my family have with Vince is that when we moved here to Tucson, his was some of the first music we ever heard that was different from our coming from the East Coast, and we've enjoyed many an opportunity to get to know the two of you better. So again, thanks for joining us in Circles of Change.
Thank you.
Real pleasure.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.